This is Brian Cambria with the KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. Today's election day for what will be Colorado's first election with new voting rules. And so far, Republicans are outpacing Democrats and unaffiliated voters at the ballot box. Bente Berkland has more.
So far, nearly 80,000 more Republicans have voted by mail or at voting centers compared to Democrats. Republicans also outpace unaffiliated voters by 115,000 votes. Andrew Cole is a spokesman for the Colorado Secretary of State's office. He says it's too soon to say how those numbers will ultimately break down, but turnout is already fairly high.
A lot of people, you give them a deadline and they're going to wait to the last minute. That's the case. All things in life, so we will see a fairly big increase in numbers.
Polls are open across the state for those choosing to drop off ballots or vote in person. But Cole says there have been far fewer lines as more people choose to vote by mail. This is the first time the state's mailed ballots to every voter under a new law Democrats passed last session. Coloradans are voting on two statewide questions, a tax increase for public schools, and an excise and sales tax for recreational marijuana. I'm Bente Berkland at the state capitol.
Republicans have so far turned out in bigger numbers in Delta, Montrose, Ouray, and Mesa counties, but Democrats have outpaced Republicans in San Miguel County. Delta County has been conducting off-year elections by mail since 1993, but after the passage of House Bill 1303 last spring, things are a bit different. Among the major changes, the Voter Access and Modernized Elections Act requires the county to provide voter service and polling centers. KVNF's Marty Derlin talked with Delta County Clerk Ann Eddins.
While County Clerk Ann Eddins sits in the commissioner's business meeting and takes notes on the proceedings, things are abuzz down the hall in her office, where some 40% of the vote has already come in. Eddins says the new service and polling centers add to voters' choices.
We have one in Delta and one in Hotchkiss, which means you can go in and vote a ballot there. You can get a replacement ballot. You can decide you want to vote in person. You can vote on electronic equipment. You can update your address.
You can even register to vote on the day of the election, as long as you can prove you've lived in the state for the past 22 days. The county sent out 18,380 ballots this year, and Eddins says there are more eligible voters in Delta County than the last off-year election in 2011 because of the new law's provision that a voter remains on the rolls until a ballot comes back as undeliverable. Previously, voters were ineligible if they failed to vote in a general election. The new law just adds to Colorado's already voter-friendly procedures, says Eddins.
Colorado does everything to try to make it as convenient for people as they can. I think being open on Monday is going to be helpful in the primary and the general, because we weren't open on Mondays before, because we had to get a poll book out to the precincts, so we weren't able to be open. So now we're open on Mondays before the election, which I think is a benefit for voters.
Eddins says the statewide database will prevent voter fraud.
Once we have shown that you have voted, you can't get a ballot and vote some other way. You may vote a provisional, but it won't be counted. And if people try to vote more than that, they may be turned over to the DA because you're only allowed to vote once.
Don't forget to cast your ballot once. Last year, about 55% of Delta County's eligible voters participated. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Montrose County schools are getting internet upgrades in the coming weeks, with the district hoping to have all schools in the district connected with the same Wi-Fi internet capabilities by March of next year. As the Watch reports, Wi-Fi is being installed at Johnson and Pomona elementary schools over the next 2 weeks and contractors will be improving the entire district's information technology system in the weeks ahead. The district is also set to upgrade its fleet of servers, broadband services, backup systems, and even the way it ventilates the rooms that house its IT equipment. IT is information technologies. The upgrades are being led in part by Steve McEwen, the district's new director of technology. According to The Watch, McEwen recommended to the Montrose School Board that it invest in technology and develop some digital curricula for students. McEwen said the district is currently about average when compared to other districts' digital advances, but added the district is headed in the right direction. McEwen also said he hopes to see the district increase its budget for technology and capital improvements, saying the district could become about 90% digital with a plan that would cost around $3 million and last between 5 and 7 years. As a part of that plan, he hopes each student will have access to a digital device to use in the classroom and at home. As The Watch reports, District Superintendent Mark McHale called the plan a, quote, pretty big shift. Meanwhile, seventh grade students at Columbine Middle School are using the first mobile devices ever used in the district. The Colorado Independent reports that farmers are among those across the state criticizing new proposed air quality rules. Critics say the rules don't do enough to address concerns about rapidly growing ozone levels, specifically in areas across the Front Range that have seen a jump in gas drilling. As the Independent reports, gas development in the state currently includes an area that stretches from the Rocky Mountains to Nebraska. Representatives from the agriculture industry, which contributes about $40 billion to the state's economy every year, claim that higher ozone levels are reducing their crop yields and harming their profits to the tune of $24 million. Front Range farmer and activist Michael Bowman characterized the situation as, quote, the high price of cheap gas. An energy activist at Conservation Colorado told The Independent the state's air quality has dropped right alongside the boom in gas extraction, citing the 5,000 wells drilled across the Front Range over the past 47 months. But the energy industry has said that natural gas, increasingly extracted from fracking, is possibly a greener alternative to coal. Doug Flanders, the Colorado Oil and Gas Association's policy director, said the rise of natural gas as a coal alternative has made the U.S. the only growing economy in the world that's shown a decrease in carbon emissions. The effects of increasing ozone in the Grand Valley have been studied by Gerald Nelson, who says ozone levels between 40 and 70 parts per billion are resulting in a 5 to 20% loss in crop yields. Nelson says that kind of loss can hurt a farmer's bottom line. Colorado Parks and Wildlife announced yesterday it's now accepting public comment on the future of mule deer management in the southwest Four Corners area of the state. Up for comment are two proposed management plans for what are called the Groundhog and Mesa Verde herd areas. In a statement, Colorado Parks and Wildlife said the deer population in those areas has significantly declined over the past 15 years. Officials still don't know why the population has dropped, but suspect a variety of factors may be having an effect, including drought, disease, and the changing shape of land development. The agency is seeking opinions and insight through an online survey, and will consider comments from the public as it reviews its management plans. The finalized plans are expected to be reviewed by the Parks and Wildlife Commission in March. More heavy snow in the Aspen area yesterday has led the Department of Transportation to close Independence Pass for the season. The closure comes 3 days ahead of the regularly scheduled closing date of November 7th. Weather permitting, the 18-mile stretch of highway between Aspen and Twin Lakes will reopen the weekend before Memorial Day next spring. Next Monday is Veterans Day, and National Park Service units across the nation will offer free entry this weekend, Saturday, November 9th through Monday, November 11th, as a tribute to all military personnel. The Salt Lake Tribune reports more than 401 parks will be open and free to everyone. In a prepared statement, National Park Service Director Jonathan B. Jarvis said, quote, "I invite everyone to come to a national park to commemorate Veterans Day, whether it is to learn more about those who have given so much to defend our freedoms or to simply enjoy the beauty and majesty of the land they fought to protect," end quote. Entry fees are being waived during the weekend, but other fees, such as camping, will still apply. As part of this year's Veterans Day celebration, the National Park Service prepared a video highlighting Ranger Dan Hoddle, who served as a combat veteran in Afghanistan. Hoddle talks in the video about how visits to Zion, Arches, Canyonlands, and Rocky Mountain National Parks allowed him, quote, "to reconnect with myself and leave the sights and sounds of war that I had behind on miles and miles of beautiful trails." Hoddle is now a ranger in Yellowstone National Park, the first national park in the world. And finally, as a reminder, you can find a full list of ballot drop-off locations for this year's elections by visiting our website at kvnf.org. And complete voting information from the state of Colorado is available at govotecolorado.com. Polling centers will be open today until 7 p.m. Thus concludes this morning's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.